Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 to 22. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the convictions of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous. God commended him by accepting his gift, and through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. Now before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God, and without faith it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. By faith Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance, and he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she had passed the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants, as many as the stars of heaven, and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had an opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, "Through Isaac shall your offspring be named." He considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. By faith, Isaac invoked future blessings on Jacob and Esau. By faith, Jacob, when dying, blessed each of his sons of Joseph, bowing in worship over the head of his staff. By faith, Joseph, at the end of his life, made mention of the exodus of the Israelites and gave directions concerning his bones. Amen. So if you can turn into your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11, we're going to be looking at verses 8 to 10. And the title of the study tonight will be The Faith of Abraham. So there can be times in our lives that as Christians we feel that we are strangers in a foreign land. In my life I've never felt more like this than the first time I went to Bolivia. Everything was new and exciting, also different. Many things were done differently. Food was different, and mainly bought at the local supermarket at the local market, and only the rich could afford to shop at the supermarkets. Cars were driven on the other side of the road, and their horns were used more than their brakes. Also, strange customs where for a month the whole country has a huge water fight, and there aren't many places that are safe from getting wet. Sometimes people would look at me and see someone different. One time I got shouted, "Gringo!" out of the car window. No matter how much I would grow to love this country, I would always be seen as a foreigner. Someone who was not born there, someone who was different, maybe even strange to some. So the beginning of Abraham's faith. I would like us to look at the faith of one man in the Bible, a man from early Old Testament that followed and trusted God, even when it seemed impossible. I would like for us to start with the beginning of Abraham's faith and how he was called by God all those years ago. It was the call of God that Abraham believed and trusted. Abraham was a very significant man in the redemptive history of the Bible. We're told in Galatians chapter 3, verse 7, that all of us who are believers in Christ are children of Abraham, and Abraham is our father in the faith. If we look at Romans chapter 4, we read, "What then shall we say was gained by Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness." So in Romans 4, Abraham is given as a model example of the man who was justified by faith alone, apart from works. That's who this man is. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4, we see how Abel was offering by faith, and he was justified by faith, not by works. We see 5 to 7, how Enoch was pleasing to God by faith. He was also justified by faith in Jesus Christ, not by works. And Noah also by faith obeyed and built the ark to save his family, and was also justified by faith. He became an heir of the righteousness that comes only by faith in Jesus Christ. Well, these were individuals who lived before the flood. But now as we come to Abraham, we come to a significant moment in redemptive history. The call of Abraham is a key moment, a turning point, as it were, in the history of the human race. For Abraham is the father of the Jewish nation. And as Jesus said very plainly to the Samaritan woman at the well, salvation is of the Jews. Salvation comes from the Jews. And Romans 11 says that we Gentile believers in Jesus are like wild olive shoots who have been grafted into the olive tree. And so with the call of Abraham, we have the beginning of the history of redemption through the Jewish nation. And he's going to be very significant to all Hebrew Christians. These are Jewish believers in Jesus Christ. So Abraham's faith had its source in the call of God. Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. "Now the Lord said to Abraham, 'Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to a land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed.'" So that is the call of Abram, a man who later became known as Abraham and is still known as Abraham today. Abraham's call comes in the form of a command and a variety of promises. The command is to leave your country, your people, your father's household, and to go to a land I will show you. So that's the command, and also a variety of promises. I will make your name great. I will bless those who bless you. And whoever curses you, I will curse also. And it says that all the peoples of the earth will be blessed through you. So a combination of command and promises. I think from the very beginning, when he heard and believed and obeyed, he was justified through Jesus Christ. And I think there is no one, there is no sinner who's ever made right with the sovereign God, who's ever made right with the holy God, apart from the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed on the cross. And so Jesus said, your father Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. He knew it and was glad. And so he trusted Jesus for forgiveness of all his sins. That was the call. Those are the promises. But immediately with all this came his difficulties. For example, Abram came from a pagan background, and he was surrounded by a comfortable and advanced culture in which he was at ease. He had all the pleasures that he wanted. And so there are tremendous difficulties. It's amazing how God, in his core, creates faith. And I think that's where it comes. It's by the call of God that he challenges his faith with obstructions. And so there are tremendous obstructions. So first and foremost, in his own status, he was a pagan and a Gentile and an unbeliever. And so what do you mean by that? Well, it says in Joshua 24, 2-3, thus says the Lord God, the God of Israel, long ago the fathers lived beyond the Euphrates, Terah, the father of Abraham and of Nahor, and they served other gods. Then I took your father Abraham from beyond the river and led him through all the land of Canaan and made his offspring many, and I gave him Isaac. So what Joshua is saying here, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is that before the call, Terah, Abraham and Nahor served other gods. It probably could have been moon gods, or something there in Babylon. Abraham was uncircumcised at the time of his calling. Romans 4 makes that very clear. And that his faith came and his justification came long before he was circumcised. So we see Abraham as a Gentile pagan. And during that time, God calls him in this amazing way. And he says, leave everything that you know, everything of comfort, everything of ease, everything that is familiar to you. Leave your country and your people, your family, leave your language that you're used to. Leave all these things behind and go to the land I will show you. Nothing is certain about the future. There is nothing visible. I don't know if he knew where he was going. I'm sure once he began to go, he must have had a direction. Maybe God said to him, go west. But beyond that, we just don't know. And so it is with our calling as Christians. Jesus comes and he calls us to leave, in effect, everything behind. All of our loyalties to everything but him. He says, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever loses his life for my sake will find it for all eternity. So Jesus will have no rivals, not your father and mother, not your husband or wife, not your children, not your possessions, not your house or your lands or anything at all. And so from the very beginning of the call of Abraham, we have here God cutting ties to everything that he seemed familiar or comfortable to him. What God does is he shows himself from the very beginning of faith to be greater than any idol could ever be. God has God revealed himself to you to be glorious? Has he shown himself to you in Jesus Christ to be worth everything you could ever give up to have him? Is Jesus worth everything you could ever give up to have him? Is Jesus worth more than any possession, any earthly pleasure? Do you want Jesus like Paul in Philippians 3, more than anything else? That you forget what lies behind you, you count it as filthy rags or rubbish compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus. That's the faith that is in front of us here. That's the beginning of his faith. The result of Abraham's faith. Secondly, we see the result of Abraham's faith. Through it, we see the costly and lasting obedience. Out of true, genuine faith comes obedience. Look at verse 8 in the passage in Hebrews. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went. He did it. Genuine faith always produces obedience. Has this happened in your life? Have you turned away from a life of rebellion? Have you turned away from the wickedness of sin? Have you turned to Jesus as your Redeemer, the one that shed his blood for your sins, that took on himself the wrath of the curse that you and I deserve for our sins? Now, by his Spirit, you are set free from sin to follow him in a lifestyle of obedience. If so, then heaven is your future home. If not, I plead with you, while there's still time, repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Today is the day of salvation. This is when you can be rescued from going to Satan's dark kingdom and brought into the kingdom of God. So true faith produces obedience. That is what it says in Romans 1 verse 5. Through him and for his name's sake, we receive grace and apostleship to call people from among all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith. That's how Romans begins, and it ends the exact same way in Romans 16 verse 26, so that all nations might believe and obey him. Believe and obey. James says, without works, faith is dead. Works equals obedience. So without works of obedience, you have no faith. It's dead. And so the effects of Abraham's faith is obedience. What must his friends and family thought when he was leaving all his things or giving it away? Because he couldn't take everything with him. It probably would have been everything that he could have stuck on a camelback was allowed to go. You can imagine when he was asked, what are you doing? Well, I'm going away. Really, where are you going? I don't know. So far, I know it's west. They must have had that thought that he must have been crazy. But Abraham was being faithful. Like another man that was thought of to be crazy but obedient was Noah and the ark, built in a place that had not rained in a long time and nowhere near the sea or the river. But did that stop him from obeying God? No. He did it even under the ridicule that he had. He still was obedient. So Abraham leaving showed his obedience to God. The rest of his life, there's going to be a pattern of sacrifice, of laying things aside, laying them behind. For the rest of his life, he was going to be hearing the voice of God and obeying it. God was going to lead him step by step. And he was going to move place to place, even within the promised land, and not know where the next place was going to be. And he was going to, for the rest of his life, follow by faith and obey by faith. Jesus said, "No one who puts his hand to the plough, looks back, is fit for service in the kingdom of God." Remember what happened to Lot's wife when she was told not to look back. He didn't look back and he never returned. We see next the obstacles in Abraham's faith. God creates faith within our hearts and then challenges the faith with obstacles. He creates mountains that can be moved. He creates things you have to get through, and he makes it difficult, so his faith is strengthened by his obstacles. God is glorified greatly by these obstacles. Abraham's first obstacle was that he did not know where he was going. I'd like you to look at verse 8 and then compare it to verse 13. I'm not preaching on verse 13 today, but I just want you to bring something out. It is the word "not" in verse 8. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. He did not know where he was going. Okay, in verse 13 it says, "These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged them, acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth." Do you see the word "not" in both of those? Now, I don't know if the translation is the same. Maybe it rephrases it. He did not know and he did not receive. That's where faith operates. It's when you don't know where you are going and you haven't yet received the promises. That's where faith works. Are you in a situation like that in your life now, where you don't know where you're going? Are you in a situation where you are still waiting on God? This is where faith begins. And so this obstacle is, I don't know where I'm going. Abraham didn't have a smartphone that could guide him to the next destination. He had to rely on God wholeheartedly. His second obstacle was the land that God wanted for him to have was already occupied by others. The Canaanites and the Perizzites and the Hivites, the Jebusites and Amorites and the Amalekites. And they liked the land that they were in. It was a good land and they wanted to stay. Abraham was with his wife and nephew, and God told him that he was going to have all of this land. Really? What about all the people that are living there now? But he received the promise, and it was by faith that he received it. In Romans 4, verse 13, by faith it says, for this promise to Abraham and his offspring that he would be heir of the world, he did not come through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. It really is a great verse. It doesn't say that he would be heir of the promised land there. It says it was by faith that he received the promise that he would be heir of the whole world, not just a little bit of it. And all of us have come to faith in Christ Jesus, our sons and daughters of Abraham. His third obstacle was, my body is as good as dead, and Sarah's womb is too. Abraham was told that through your offspring, all the people on earth will be blessed. But Abraham and Sarah had not been successful in having children for 75 years. And then the decades would continue after that. No children. She was barren. They could have no children. Verse 12 says, therefore, one man and him as good as dead were born descendants, as many as the stars of heaven, and as many as innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. He didn't understand how it could happen, because they were both so old. But in Romans 4:19-21 it says, he did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. No unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he knew God, he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. And so Abraham's faith was challenged with obstacles, and God strengthened his faith to overcome those obstacles. It's a demonstration of his faith, and that he was living like a foreigner living in tents. In verses 9 to 10 it says, by faith he went to live in the land of promise, as in the foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. And so every day Abraham's faith was put on display by the simple fact he was living in a tent. He was living like a foreigner and a stranger. Abraham lived in that way, in a way that said, someday this will be mine, but not yet. He didn't build a walled city like Sodom and Gomorrah, or Jericho with vast gates and walls to protect it. He just lived in a tent. He was vulnerable and he was movable. And so did Isaac and Jacob, and they were promised heirs of the same promise. They were living in tents as they moved from place to place. Is this a good way that we as Christians should live? To live as Abraham, a foreigner and a stranger there. Not to live for this world. This world is not our permanent inheritance. So the display of Abraham's faith was that he lived in tents, and he had to barter with the Hittites for a cave to bury his wife. In Genesis 23, there's a whole chapter devoted to it. Why would Moses give a whole chapter to it? It had to do with the promised land, and that he didn't have it yet. So he had to barter back and forth with like a camel trader. The purpose of Genesis 23 is to say he didn't have it yet. He was a foreigner and a stranger. He hadn't come into his inheritance yet. That's why it's there. Finally, we see the view of Abraham's faith, how he was enabled to do this. Let's read 9 and 10 again. By faith he went to live in the land of promise, as in the foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. So the reason of the verse goes like this. Abraham, you're living in a tent. Why? Well, because I'm looking ahead to a city with foundations. That's the reason for it. Why are you living in a tent like a stranger in a foreign country? Because I'm looking ahead to another place. That's why. Do we look forward to something? Maybe that is a holiday, a new job, birthday. But we can spend our whole lives looking forward to something else, and then it's gone. Well, this chapter tells you should spend your whole life looking forward, not just to anything in this world. I'm not talking about having optimism. The word optimism is too weak. We have an inheritance that is coming, and nothing is going to stop it. We have more than a blind optimism. we have a great hope, a certain hope that Abraham was looking to, and we should also. How do we live in the now in light of these truths? How many of you live in tents? I'm not sure that we know anyone who lives in a tent. You know what that means? Since you don't physically live in a tent, like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, it's harder for us to be faithful to the truths in this text, but you still need to be faithful to them. You need to realize that this earth, this world, is not your home, and that you are just passing through, and nothing in this world should captivate your heart like Jesus. It is easier said than done, but this is what God demands of us. You should be living for the city and the country that is to come later, that Jesus is building. You should focus your heart entirely on Jesus' words. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will return and take you to be with me, so that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. We don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Set your hearts on that. That is your home. That is where our focus, our desires need to be. It's on God, it's on the future, heaven, and living with him and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.